If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 John. So I've had the privilege of teaching our kids often, and we're kind of going through the book of 1 John during Missions Hour. It's a little more cartoons on the screen, and a little more fun, and a lot more jokes. But 1 John is a great letter. It is written, of course, by John, and we know that it was written later on in life. He could be roughly in his 80s. It is kind of a letter from Grandpa, is how I see it. And he's writing, and if you read through this letter, over and over and over, he talks about dear children, dear friends, and I view Grandpa John sitting down to write this letter to give some wisdom to people. Wisdom to the people there because there was a teaching that was going around that Jesus didn't really come to earth as a human. He wasn't a human. He was just more of a spirit. And John wanted to, just show that that was a false teaching. But then to remind us of who we need to be. So let's start in 1 John, and we'll get through some of this. And if you want to write down, I got a couple words that all start with the letter F, so be listening for those. Now, is kind of, I don't know if that's right in that I just got ordained and now I'm using a bunch of F words. So I don't know if I got this ordination stuff right or not. Let's read. He says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." See, John is really laying out kind of a courtroom scene. That John wants you to know that his testimony is true. I'm sure a lot of us have been in a court. We got a sheriff. I'm sure you've testified in court before. We have CPS workers, probation officers, marshals, police officers. Even Noah's parents are true CSI for the LAPD down in California. If you know little Deborah, she's this tall, but was this crime scene investigator, and will give you all gory details of stuff. It's really kind of funny. So you guys are familiar with what a testimony is in a court of law. Well, there's an expert testimony or an expert witness, someone who is knowledgeable, but not just knowledgeable, they have lived it out or they've practiced it, and they have a long history of being an expert witness or an expert. We also have an eyewitness testimony, someone who saw what happened. But a lot of times those can really get challenged, or did you see what you saw? And then we try to establish motives or behaviors or a pattern of behaviors that this person acted this way over and over and over, so we can prove that they are this type of individual. And John lays kind of this courtroom scene out, and he's saying, "Listen to me, I am authority in this subject." And he uses our five senses. I have seen him, I have heard him, not only that, I have touched him with my own hands. He was a physical human being. I'm sure he probably smelled him too. That's not a great thought to think Jesus smelled, but back then they didn't have the little, Old Spice guy on a horse commercial. I don't even know if they had soap back then. They had oil, perfumed oil. So John is laying out this testimony. I've seen him, I've heard him, I've touched him, and he is the word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us. Find that phrasing, life itself. Jesus Christ is life itself here on earth. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. Jesus Christ is life itself, and He is eternal life. Without Jesus, you have no life. There's a lot of good, you know, memes out there of no life. I just have no life. Well, without Jesus, you have no life. Not here and not in eternity. And John is already laying this out, that listen to me, because I've seen Him, I've heard Him, I've touched Him, and He is life eternal. He was with the Father, and then He was revealed to us. And we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard. And why does He want to proclaim this? So that you may have fellowship with us. Here's the first layer that starts with F. Fellowship. He's talking about fellowship is really doing life together. It is being joined. It's sharing life. It is a joint effort. Life fundraising has been hard, but it's also been very enjoyable because we've done life together. We've served at Pizza Ranch. We've mowed yards, raked lawns, laid sod, done yard sales. And in all these things, I've learned things about different people. I learned Michaela Hall, she's not here today, but tried out for track and took first place in triple jump hurdles and like second place in the long jump. Her first attempt, you know. Wow. And I learned that when she rakes, she also dances. So you learn a lot about people when you share life together. There's been a lot. Joe and I learned a lot about each other yesterday, laying sod in the hot sun. And it was a interesting conversation with kids and adults. And one of the comments, and I don't know if it was really accurate, but that, oh, yeah, when we get done, one of them's going to say, oh, this was perfect. We did it right. Well, or it wasn't perfect, and how's it going to grow? And the other one's going to say, oh, it's a team effort. We got it done. Good job. And I don't know if that was quite accurate of our parenting styles, but it was interesting to learn one another and learn kids and how they work together. One of the good things that happened over the last couple weeks, well, not good. Silas had an appendix burst and then was in the hospital for 12 hours for surgery. But then he had an infection and he was in the hospital for 3 days. So, but one of those days, Jason gets off work at noon on Fridays, and he asked if he could go up and bring donuts to Silas, one of his favorite foods. So, doing life together. Situation happened where Savannah was taking care of her horse. We house it out at the Terry's house, and she called me. I was mowing, and she was in tears. One of those breakdowns. The horse kind of fell down or kicked a gate and broke a gate. She couldn't control it. It got out. She finally got back and, I'm not going to college and my horse isn't, And one of those meltdowns, we've had those, and I wasn't there. And I was like, sweet, we'll get it taken care of tonight. I'll go out there. Well, Fred was there. Well, Savannah went out like a lot of women do for a good cry, when you need it. And she was at the very back edge of the fence where you can be, as far away from the horse as possible. And she heard this rustling in the grass and thought, oh, if that's that horse, I'm going to just... It was Fred. And Fred comes over and he puts his arm around her and he tells her it's going to be okay. Walks her back. They get the saddle on the horse. They ride it around. That's doing life together. That is being in fellowship with one another. And that's what John is talking about. And he says, we write this that you may have fellowship with us. And the fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Doing life together, that intimate relationship with God the Father and God the Son all day long. It's not just once on Sunday and then we don't talk to Him the rest of the week. It is every day, all day. And He says, we are writing these things. Why? So that you may fully share our joy. Another version says, so our joy may be complete, or your joy may be complete. This is where real joy comes from, is fellowshipping with one another. It is with sharing life with one another. If you don't have joy in your life, maybe that's because you're not hanging around the right people. I'm not saying I'm that right guy, but I know guys who are really fun to hang out with. And it is a life that we share with God the Father and Jesus His Son. This message we have heard from Jesus. Okay, this isn't me saying it, and it's not even actually John saying it. This is, we heard Jesus Christ Himself say this, and now we declare it to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. So we are lying if we have if we say we have fellowship with God, but we keep on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. In this life, in this fellowship, in this living together, we have a privilege. We got this special thing that the blood of Christ cleanses us. It's cleansing us right now. As we're living life together, Jesus Christ's blood is constantly cleansing us. What a great thought of being in constant communion with Jesus. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a problem. I know I got plenty of sin. I've failed many times. But maybe he's even saying, if we claim we don't think it's a sin and we're okay with it. Ooh, well, there's a different thing that I hadn't thought about. But he says, here's the great part. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. A verse to memorize. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. So there's confession and there's cleansing with him. Forgiveness would be another word that in this fellowship with God, in this life of living together, there is true forgiveness that constantly cleanses us. Now, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Chapter 2 says, my dear children, again, Grandpa kind of writing you a letter. I'm writing this so that you will not sin. What? I just said I've messed up a lot of times. Can I go without sinning? He said, but immediately there's a wait. But if any of you does sin, we have an advocate. In the New Living, it says we have an advocate who pleads our case. Another translation says we have an advocate who defends us before God. That courtroom scene. See, with an advocate, in the New Living kind of changed the way I saw that, because an advocate, I thought, well, Jesus kind of went to God and said, well, God, Vince messed up, but you've already punished me. Kind of this business transaction. But this pleading our case changes that for me. It changes it in that Jesus is saying, please, God. He's begging God. Jesus, this is an emotional thing for him to say, I know Vince messed up and he deserves punishment, but please consider that the punishment you gave me. I suffered. You punished me. In fact, you killed me. Please consider Vince righteous. That's a little different than, well, God, you did this and I did this and let's exchange this. This is an emotional plea by Jesus on my behalf and your behalf. And that just that little phrase, he pleads with, pleads our case, change that for me. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but for the sins of the world. The same John that wrote, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, is saying Jesus Christ has atoned for the sins, not only ours, but he wants to do it for the sins of the world. Now, if they don't know Jesus, how can he how can they believe in Jesus? And so I love that our radio stations are going throughout the world, not just Helena, not just Montana, but Africa and the world. I love that our radio stations are now online and on apps and computers, and people all over the world can hear the message of Jesus. And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commands. See, following Jesus, well, there's another F. Following Jesus means that we obey what God wants us to do. It says, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar, not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. This is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So with the kids, we got to play follow the leader. But you know what follow the leader entails? It has one leader doing something, and what is everyone else doing? They're actually doing an action. You can't play follow the leader if you're just sitting in a chair. You're not following the leader if you're just reading about a leader. That's great information, but following is an actual action. We have to get up out of our chair and follow the leader. Now, kids get that pretty easy, but sometimes me as an adult, I don't get that as much. I read about it and go, wow, Jesus was a great guy. Wow, He loved people, and look how He loved. But am I really putting it into action? Verse 7 says, dear friends, I'm not writing a new command to you. Rather, it is an old one that you've had from the very beginning. This old command to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. See, God, He's saying, John is saying, that we should be loving, and we should be obeying. And we should obey, do what pleases God, or find out what pleases God. Let's skip down to verse 15, because John goes on to say, I'm telling you how to have joy in your life, to fellowship with one another. You have forgiveness in that fellowship. Do life with one another, and our joy will be complete. But beware, because there is fake joy out there. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Here's what the world offers you. Only a craving for physical pleasure. Only a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. Well, these are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. He's saying this world will offer you what they claim is joy, but it is a fake joy, and it will fade away. Now, some of you may like football, some may not. I'm a football fan. I don't like the Patriots, but I can respect them. And Tom Brady now has 6 Super Bowl rings on his finger. For those who don't care about football, the Super Bowl is kind of the championship where these teams get to, you know. Okay, so you get it. Some people may not care at all. Well, Tom Brady did a 2020 interview, and they asked him, what's your favorite Super Bowl ring? And he said, the next one. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, one day, sorry, but Tom Brady's going to die. And those 6 Super Bowl rings, or 7, however he will have, what happened to them? I mean, they're worth like, I don't know, $1 million a piece or something. They get auctioned, they get sold, I don't know. But how about for the people who don't care about football? Is that a big accomplishment? Not at all. In fact, how about for the world who may not even know what football, what we call football, they football, soccer around the world. We call it something. They might not even know who Tom Brady is. And we think these six rings are this huge accomplishment. They are fading away. And I don't know Tom. I don't know his life. But I know that pride in our accomplishments will fade away. But doing what pleases God, we will have life eternal. John is a grandpa sitting down to write us a letter to say, have fellowship with one another. Do life together. Make it a joint effort. And in fellowship with one another, we have fellowship with God, the Father, and with His Son. And in that, your joy will be complete. So watch what we're focusing on. Final word that starts with F. In chapter 3, verse 18, he says, dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by living out our actions. Don't just say, I love, but to actually do it. You know, we have a saying, well, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner, right? But am I actually doing that? Am I actually living it out, or am I just saying it? Well, yeah, I know what they did is terrible, but I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. No, am I actually doing what he's calling me to do? It says, love your enemies as yourself, or love your neighbor as yourself. Am I actually living that out, or am I just saying it? And it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. Am I actually living that out, or am I just merely saying it? Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. And even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. And He knows everything. See, God is saying, you can come before me with confidence because Jesus Christ is pleading your case before me. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilt, we can come to God with bold confidence. We will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and we do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us too. I love the letter from Grandpa John. I might call him that instead of the Apostle John, because I see him at a desk. And I don't know the end of his life. I think he was on an island by himself and he's writing these things to his children, to his friends. And he's knowing, I'm close to the end of my life. I don't know how it's going to end, but I want you to leave you with this, to do life together. Do it jointly. Don't be alone in this world because joy is where is found in togetherness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for John and his life, that he was actually with Jesus. He saw him, he heard him, he touched him. He ate food with them. He experienced his death and resurrection. And oh, all the emotions that go into that. He lived a life, his whole life, where he proclaimed Jesus. And now he's telling us, we thank you for him. We thank you for your word through John. God, thank you that Jesus is life itself here on earth and eternally. Lord, help us to love in action, not just in word. And help us to live life together in fellowship, doing things jointly, enjoying one another, and having our joy complete. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.